Well, hello, podcast family. Today, I am honored to welcome Laverne Gordon to the table. Laverne is the founder of Love Life Now Foundation, an author, a speaker, a leader, whose work really is rooted in healing and restoration and empowerment for women, both during and after trauma. And she supports women not only in rebuilding their lives, but also in navigating real-time crisis. And so what I appreciate most about Laverne and what I've learned is that her work is both compassionate and practical, and she meets women right where they are. So Laverne, welcome to the table. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Andrea.
Of course. Well, let's jump right in. You do some incredible work, as I mentioned, and your work is rooted in healing, leadership, and lived experience. I've shared my own experience with navigating being on the corporate side and domestic violence. And so I'd love to find out from you what moment in your life most shaped the leader you are today.
Wow. I don't think there's really one defining moment, but one of them to me was at the time that I realized that something bigger was happening with the story that I had not shared up until that moment. So I was dared by some friends to take part in a local beauty pageant, and then subsequently have to go on to nationals because I won the first leg locally. And it was during the first leg that I was asked during the judging portion of the competition, why did you pick domestic violence awareness as your platform? And I had then shared a little bit about what my mother's story had looked like, because as child witnesses in that situation with domestic violence, they often go on to perpetuate as victims themselves or perpetrators. And so, you know, sharing my story had to encompass a little bit of hers. And then I shared a little bit about what being in an abusive relationship for 2 years looked like for me. And I shared it tearfully because it was the first time anybody had ever asked me why. And, you know, I looked up in tears, my entire face wet, and the judges, some of them were crying too. You know, I had thought, you know, me sharing in this very emotional way would have discounted me from being or moving further on in the pageant. And come to find out, two of the judges post, you know, they told me take time to sort of collect myself before I walked outside. And then two of them approached me and said, me too. Women who sat before me looking the most put together, the most professional, and then they were also saying that this had happened to them in their own lives. And I think in that moment, it sent a very loud message to me that a fire was lit and that I needed to take what I had shared to others that all, in the moment had looked like me. That was most important, because I had never heard of the term domestic violence really shared in my community. I really hadn't heard or seen anything that looked relevant to me as it related to domestic violence. And so, yeah, I think that was one of the biggest moments for me that said, do something, that then turned into, you know, forming the foundation the following year. I think that was a pivotal moment for me. And not even looking at it as leadership, but, you know, how can I do more to help others? Because if these two women are sitting before me, presenting like this, but it also happened to them, how many others are there? So I think, yeah, I always look back at that as sort of a really big pivotal moment for me as to where I was headed next.
Yeah, no, that, first of all, thank you for sharing. That's powerful. And I love that in that moment, not only did you liberate yourself, but you liberated others. Which of course then opened the door to so many others that you've helped. So what a moment. So let's talk about Love Life Now as a platform for restoration and empowerment. What does healing actually look like in practice, not in theory, for women who are rebuilding their lives? If someone's listening and they're like, what does this healing look like as it relates to Love Life Now? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think so. I'll say first that I don't think that healing is a linear journey, and my path and your path, Andrea, will look different. I think as it relates to Love Life Now, we as an organization seek to promote year-round awareness around this issue. And so we involve folks primarily about what it means to look at folks and, not deem this person as a victim, this person as a survivor, this person as a perpetrator. What does this issue entail overall? How can you be part of the solution? So I think, there are some of the initiatives that we host as an organization that celebrate survivorship. We have a fashion show that, we're all the models of survivors of abuse, and that really entails getting people to understand that this issue does just not affect one person or one demographic, right? We have men that walk in the show as well, that walk in memory of someone that they lost. And so, for the someone in the audience sitting and watching these survivors, so thrivers, as we like to call them, walk the stage in all their empowered, feeling their most empowered selves in that moment, I think healing to them looks like, wow, look at what they went through, but look at them now. I can get there myself. I think when we talk about, hosting a bedding drive or a pajama drive like we have going on now that asks folks to donate these very basic items that goes back to DV shelters that we support. I think healing for the person receiving it is understanding that people care at the very core. People care. And that the support is just not within the four walls that they're bound in at the moment, which is a domestic violence shelter. So I think it looks very differently across the different initiatives that we have. For me, myself personally, I can say succinctly that I have not healed from this issue. And I make it a point to tell folks that I don't think you ever heal from the ramifications of domestic violence. I think we gain the tools over a period of time to manage the effects from what this issue has done to you. Every Monday at 12 o'clock, I have a standing therapy session. So I had therapy today. And that hour serves as someone for me to bounce off what's happening in the moment for me. PTSD and how it still affects me today. How my body is feeling and is it regulated? Is it not? The work that I do, how, and so very many different things I'm able to bounce off my therapist in the moment based off of what transpired for me as a child witness to the issue, then becoming a young adult survivor, from the issue. For some, it may be, coming to these events that we host. It may be engaging in volunteerism at a DV shelter. It may be, getting back into faith-based communities that they were involved in prior to being involved with their abuser. So I don't think healing is a linear path, and I think it looks different for everybody, but I think we come at it, we seek to help in a way that is non-judgmental, that gets people, whether you're a survivor, perpetrator, God forbid, right? In the same space and understanding how, and even if you've never been affected by the issue of domestic violence, how you can be part of the solution. Getting people in the same spaces to understand on a granular level, what this issue can look like for others, and what the journey, continues to be for many that are still impacted by the issue today.
No, I'm so glad you said that. One, it's not linear, and two, that you are still healing because, like you, so am I. And it's important, as you mentioned, to get into therapy or whatever that may look like, whether that's church, whether that's community, because it is not something that for many, the physical violence or the emotional or the financial, whatever that may experience looks like, may end, but the ramifications and the PTSD of that is like a whole nother level. So I'm so grateful that you mentioned that it's ongoing. Some folks may listen and go, I went through it. It was 10 years ago, but there are still, for many, some work that probably still needs to happen.
Absolutely. And the way that, the effects of this shows up, you may think to yourself, oh, I'm healed, or I dealt with that. That's kind of what women have to go through. And, it's done and done. My mother went through it. I went through it, and it's all good. But in the moment that you're, probably, let's just say, listening to a song and it triggers something in you that you can't understand why. You're watching a movie and there's a scene that just irks you to the highest power, or you in that moment, you're watching this on screen and it's like it's resonating in a way with you that you cannot understand and you can explain. These are all things that are triggers that you may not have sought to deal with or figured out a way how to deal with them, that are showing up in the present day because you have never addressed the effects of what happened to you. And I say that confidently, that these things show up in very, very many different ways. Even you may not have even experienced a song or watching a movie, but now you have children. And in the way you parent, it's because of what has taken place. And it doesn't even have to be domestic violence. Any traumatic time in your life, right? Things show up later on in life in many, very different ways. And you don't have explanations for it because you haven't really addressed any of it. Right. And so it's so important to do so. And like you said, just going back to whatever that looks like for you, it may not be therapy, it may not be church, but something that gets to the root of whatever it is that you might have experienced in prior years really does help along the way. Again, getting the tools to manage the way that these things show up are the greatest asset that you can have once you've experienced any trauma in your life. And I wholeheartedly believe in it, 110%. It's helped me and it's helped many, many, many different others. So, yeah.
In that vein, many women, and I know you mentioned men as well, we don't want to leave them out of this conversation, still carry unspoken pain, responsibility, mm-hmm. or survival habits. I share in my book that I was excelling in my career and even reaching the highest levels of corporate spaces, but dealing with that domestic violence or the PTSD of it. And mm-hmm. so we carry those survival habits everywhere. From your perspective, what do women and men need to unlearn in order to truly move forward in their healing journey?
Yeah, and that's, the word unlearn is so important here, because much like abusers, if they ever make it off the pathway that they are on to cause harm to others because they deem it as love, it's much in the same way that we as victims have to unlearn behaviors that were either passed down to us, handed down to us subconsciously, or from the relationships that we were a part of, to unlearn the ways that we sort of deemed it was okay to receive love, right? Which was not love at all, right? And so I can say, coming out of the abusive relationship that I was in, simple things like walking through a grocery store and someone of the opposite sex saying good morning to me was me immediately clutching my pearls and because in the relationship that I was in, I was told over and over again that I was always inviting unwarranted attention. If I looked left, I was looking at the guy 10 feet away from me. If I looked right, I was looking at the guy in traffic next to me in another car and inviting them to speak to me. And that would cause a rift. And so you hear that enough, you begin to believe it. And those types of very simple behaviors were things that I had to unlearn and realize that it had nothing, those things had nothing to do with me. It was all in the insecurity of the person that I was with. And, you know, again, I don't think you come to the realization of those things until you're doing the work. And so you can recognize it, but how do I unlearn it? You need tools. And so going back to whatever it is that gets you to the point of, okay, self-aware, I'm very self-aware at this moment that someone telling me hello is not a threat. Someone wanting to open a door for me is not an advance by them. It's simply them being polite in the moment. And, you know, again, you can be self-aware, but then how do I get to the point of getting back to the business of self where this is not true for me. It was had nothing to do with me. And I can find tools to figure out how not to perceive others as threats or be open to, you know, others in a different way from what I was dealing with before. So I think, again, just getting to the point where you realize it's not right and then engaging in ways to, you know, get tools that will be help you be able to move forward. I think is super important.
That's good. That's good. Great advice. When you think about your legacy, Laverne, not just professionally, but personally, what do you hope the women you serve carry forward because of your work?
Wow. So thrivership, right? Not just surviving, but thriving after abuse. I think for many years, I was just surviving. I think 10 years leading up to the pageant that I took part in, I was just surviving. I was engaged in therapy. I was engaged in, you know, going back to church. I was engaged in, you know, getting back to the business of being Laverne, a social butterfly, right? All of those things were stripped from me outside of therapy. Therapy was new, but everything else was stripped from me going into this relationship. And, you know, by the time the pageant came around and I took part in that, I had these two titles and then went on to Formula of Life Now. I think over time with me also then in conjunction with forming the organization, also being able to share my story through many very different platforms, including a book, right, that came many, many years later. But I think in doing all of that, I did become empowered, but I also thrived, right? And so I was able to do things far beyond gaining tools to manage what was happening to me. I then took that and sprinted with it. Right. So, okay. I feel good with, you know, being back in social circles. I'm going to go to other countries and see what other social circles they are, you know, so traveling, you know, and many other different things. I mean, I can't pinpoint any one thing. I just knew that it was far beyond who I was even before I met this person. And that is what I hope is the message that I leave for long after I'm gone, right? Is that it's one thing to survive trauma, but how do you thrive after? What does thriving look like for you? And if I can model any of that behavior for any of the women that we serve as an organization that come to our events, that engage in what we do, I think I've done more than my fair share of helping others. And I hear it often and I don't take it for granted that folks, you know, feed off of who we are, not just me, because it isn't a Laverne show. This is Love Life Now show, right? How we as an organization exemplify that surviving, you know, I would say 95% of the folks that are sit on our board are survivors and they also model thriving. Right. And so really having it come from the top down that everybody has the ability to do this, but little granular steps at a time gets you there. And I think, you know, again, just modeling those behaviors for folks and seeing it reciprocated, you know, real time, That's the real flex for me in this life and then beyond, what the legacy is, I hope, is left after.
What a powerful testimony you have. I'm just so inspired by you and proud of the work that you're doing. I'm almost at a loss for words. Just
I mean, as I said, that day-to-day is exactly what it is, the day-to-day. And I hold what you just said in my heart deeply, because I know the work that I put in to get here. And it certainly wasn't overnight, and the work still continues. You know, I still have night terrors, not as often. Okay. And I know that's in correlation with the work that has been done, but for many years and ever so often, I haven't had one this year to date, right? 2026. But, you know, as late last year, I had a night terror of our father brutally abusing our mother. Subsequently me being in a physical, you know, being beaten situation. Yeah. And now, because of the work that I have done, when the night terrors come, I can automatically marry it to the type of day that I had. So maybe I had a direct interaction with a survivor, which often doesn't happen because we don't have direct contact with survivors. A lot of the work that we do is online, but maybe somebody was referred to me in community, right? And, you know, I had a one-on-one conversation and they're in crisis and that sits with me throughout the day. It then shows up in my sleep, right? It could be that something ran amok with the work day per se and I've taken it to bed with me. That shows up in my sleep. And so I, again, in doing the work, I can recognize and correlate it with something or even something happening in the world. We all know what's happening with a lot of different communities these days. And I'm not going to get into that, but you know, sometimes you take that with you because you're so amped up and so upset. And that shows up, you know, sometimes in my sleep. And so, you know, it's work. It's still work. And again, which always leads me to believe that the healing journey is never over. So if you're in a space where you feel like, my gosh, I've gotten out of this and I still can't get it together, quite frankly, it's like they say, you know, living in a perfect world, there's no such thing, right? Work-life balance, there is no such thing. But you do the best that you can because as much as you love a thing or you're doing a thing well, something's going to drop, right? And I think it's the same thing with recovering or healing from DV, domestic violence, is, you know, as much as you are, you know, pushing along, this thing is going to show up in your life at some point in some way. And again, if you can gain the tools to manage it, that's going to be your best bet. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with me. And, but you know, like you, Andrea, one day at a time.
One day at a time.
I think some do it better than others, but it's still one day at a time.
Yeah, it's still work. Well, you mentioned your book, and I'd love to maybe share not only your book with our listeners, but also for those that may need support or resources, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are on the web at lovelifenow.org. Again, lovelifenow.org. And you can find, you know, if you're local to the New England area, coming to one of our events online, we have different things that happen throughout the year. Right now, we're having our pajama drive that I'm supposed to donate a nice, cozy pair of pajamas. We make it so easy where you can go on the website, shop, click, ship, comes directly to us. So that you can help others that are in a situation that, you know, they really didn't ask to be a part of. We have a direct resource called the Get Safe Fund, That's probably the only direct resource that we have that asks folks that if you are in crisis in the moment, trying to escape a domestic violence situation, we can help with a very small mini grant toward fleeing expenses, domestic violence related expenses. And so that application is on our website as well, that folks can get a hold of. And yeah, I think, you know, even if you're looking for a resource, you're getting to the end of this relationship or you're out of the relationship and you don't know what to do next, we can help point you in the right direction for help. And we have a text to chat line. That's 888-556-9876. Again, 888-556-9876. Getting to the end is daunting, right? And so, or figuring out that you reached your breaking point and you don't, the unknown is scary, right? There's so much coming at you oftentimes that you don't know sort of how to pivot. And so we can help sort of, again, point you in the right direction for help. So you can help, you know, we can help you figure out what's next.
Well, Laverne, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for being a light in the dark for so many, and sharing your heart with us today. Your work and the organization's work matters deeply. And to your point, once you get to the end or your breaking point, that is when it is the most scary. And so thank you for providing those resources and ways to help support those that are looking for that. And to everyone listening, remember, resilience is strategy, purpose is power, and legacy is built one decision at a time. So thank you for pulling up a chair to the table I built today, and we'll see you in the next episode.